You know, sometimes when you sit down to have a conversation with someone that you've never conversed with before and you just have an instant connection and you feel like you've known that person, possibly not just in this lifetime, but a few lifetimes before, and everything about them feels familiar and you could sit and talk to them for 3 days straight and still be talking? Well, that's me and Maria Doyle. This was the first time that we had spoken face to face, and literally I feel like I've known her for 10 billion years. And so I know this podcast is going to be a good one because I had so much fun recording it, you know, and it could have gone on for 3 or 4 hours, but I managed to get it into just over an hour. So I'm really excited to bring this to you. Maria is an incredible woman. We didn't even scrape the surface of the crazy shit she's had in her life. There's so much to this incredible woman, and I'm so excited to bring you Maria Doyle.
Welcome to the Carlosophies podcast with me, Carly Nimmo. Every week, join me and my rad guests for tips and tricks for your entrepreneurial journey, incredible stories, real conversations, and takeaways to implement into your life to create positive change. Ready for a rad and real life and biz? Let's get our freak on.
Give me the rundown, maybe 5 to 7 minute version of how you got to where you are right now.
Oh my God, where do I start? Okay, how I got to where I am now, that is such a funny question. And you know what, if you had asked me this question 10 years ago, I'd be like, you've got me confused with some other Maria Doyle. Maybe, you know, that Maria Doyle Kennedy, you know, the really famous one that used to be part of the Commitments. No, anyway.
No, I don't know her. Oh my God, I only know Maria Doyle.
No, Google Maria Doyle Kennedy. She's like the – do you remember the Commitments?
I remember the movie.
Yeah, so she was the tall, long brown hair, really good looking one.
Yeah, right. Much like yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Anyway, okay. So I went to boarding school, and I did that because my parents lived on a small farm, and education when I was going through school was not good. Everyone was pregnant and or married by the age of 18, and they wanted something a little bit more for me than that. So they sent me off to this big school where I fell in love with, I don't know, just studying, I guess, and learning, because that's all I did. And then I won a scholarship to go to Italy when I was in year 11, and I went, oh my God, there's just so much more to life than school. So I came back to finish year 12 resolute that I was going to not live the 9 to 5, that I was going to travel. I was going to find a job and study so that I could travel. And that's exactly what I did. So I did a degree in languages because I didn't know what else to do. Although I had a score where I could study quite a few different things. I loved languages. My mum's Italian. So, and I loved the exchange. So I went and studied languages. And then as part of my degree program, went to Indonesia for 6 months to study at a university. We got evacuated due to civil unrest. That was when Suharto's regime tumbled. And I came back to Australia and everyone said, oh, I'm sure you've got travelling out of your system now. And mum and dad were like, well, that's it. You're never going back to that country. And that was just the start. I came back and decided that I had to get back to Indonesia because I love the language so much. And so I promptly finished my degree, did a language teaching certificate, and got on the first plane to back to Indonesia. I had 2 job offers, one in Mexico and one in Indonesia, and I just went, this is defining the rest of my life. Where do I go? And so I went to Indo, and then that was it. Crazy pants, 20 years on the road, studying, teaching English, training teachers. I've had 12 overseas postings. I travelled through 33 countries on the way to all of those postings, back and forth from Australia, and ended up at the end of all of that in a place called Kiribati, which is in the middle of the Pacific. And I worked out there for 2.5 years, and it's a very long story, but I basically came back and realised that I'd worked for every possible organization, from family run to large government organizations and everything between, private companies. I'd worked for TAFEs and universities and high schools and primary schools and community centers and it just didn't matter who I worked for or where I worked. I always put 150% into these places, and most of the places treated me like a number. Like, it didn't matter that I'd put my heart and soul into a program. I'd say, oh, budget cut, bang, finished the next year. And I was like, what? I killed myself on that project. And I was never really given the appreciation that I wanted from the job. And that for me is about client satisfaction. It's about working with people and seeing the buzz when they get things right, seeing the buzz when they learn. And when you're working for an organization, you just, I don't know, it just never did it for me. And I thought I got to the pinnacle of my career. I had a job that I was the youngest by about 30 years. And no joke, like everyone else working on this
project. I've had one of those jobs too. Oh, yeah. I was the youngest by 30 years and the only woman, which was just, you know,
thank God I'm
crazy.
A woman.
Yeah.
But it's horrible, isn't it? And they sort of look at you with disdain and go, how do you don't deserve to be in this job? And it's like, well.
Yeah, you know, I know. I felt like I had to constantly justify why I was there, you know, because I was the youngest and I was a female. Double whammy. Yeah. Crazy.
Exactly. Well, and I was high-spirited and young and came with all these sort of ideas, and the sort of these project managers, God bless them, they're all very sort of very experienced and deserve to be in the positions they were in, but it was a constant struggle. And I just came back and went, wow, well, if that's the pinnacle of my career, if that's what I've just worked 20 years to get to, then you can have it. I'm not interested. Like, it's just another corporation. It's another corporation with sleazy men trying to claw their way to the top. And I'm just not, that's just not the way I work. So I went, that's it. I need to do my own gig. I need to start my own gig, and I need to have that gig based on the principles that I was raised with. And that was building a business, because my parents are business owners as well, is running a business with integrity and from a place of trust and from a place of deserved reputation. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm, like, you do a good job, people reward you for that and people recommend you based on that. So that's why I'm here. That's what I'm doing. I love what I'm doing now. I'm working with phenomenal people all over the world, and it's just, it's so diverse and it's always changing and every day is different. And, hey, look, I'm doing a podcast with Carly Nimmo. It's like, hello. You know
what I mean? Exactly.
Every day is different. I love it. I wouldn't go back for $1 million. Honestly, I wouldn't go back. It wouldn't matter what job you could give me. I'm not interested.
Yeah. I feel the same way. I just, you know, I was the same. I just was working my ass off for other people and never getting any kind of reward for that. In fact, like, you know, I think half the problem with business owners in general who hire other staff is that they just squash all innovation, you know. It's just really sad, because basically people like you and I think are entrepreneurial in spirit. So when we are working for other people, we're often working just as hard as if it was our own business. And that's not really appreciated by, you know, sadly, most organizations. So, yeah, very sad.
No, and if anything, I think it's definitely not appreciated, but, well, it can be. And I've worked with phenomenal people who just go, Maria, go home. Like, what are you doing? Like, really, go home. And God bless them. Love them to bits. I agree, though. I totally agree. It's not about being, it's about not being rewarded, but it's about not being satisfied, because you know that you can't do what you need to do.
Yeah.
And I think that was the hardest thing for me in the Pacific. For example, they said, oh, you've got to spend $100,000 by next week. And I was going, oh, okay, well, we need this, this. And they go, oh, no, you can't have any of that. You need to buy consumables. And I'm like, well, we don't need consumables. We're in the middle of the Pacific. We buy $100,000 worth of paper, it's going to rot. They're like, oh, we'll just do that. I'm like, what? That's $100,000 of taxpayers' money. What are you talking about? Why would we do that? And they're like, because you have to buy it out of that bucket, because otherwise next year that bucket will be empty. I'm like, I don't care about the bucket. Give me the money.
Yeah.
No. It's like, oh, I can't work like this.
Yeah.
It's just wrong.
Yeah.
That's everything.
That's all kinds of wrong, isn't it? Just
So yeah, running your own business, you just say no to all that Nancy Pantsy, and you go, no, I'm doing things the way I want to do them, under my terms, and with integrity.
Yeah. So what would you say in your business are your top values?
Well, I just did I just did an amazing workshop on the weekend, actually, with a spiritual, like an energy healing woman. And we were talking about core desired feelings and what I need to feel good and go about my business. And look at that. They're right in front of me.
Oh, really?
That was meant
to be. That is so funny. Yeah. That was meant to be.
How funny. Yeah, they're right here. Okay. So one of them is that appreciation, like that being able to be appreciated because you know that what you're doing is helping someone. I come from a long line of helpers, you know, both sides of my family. You know, those sort of community people that are always in and doing what they've got to do in community to get everyone working and get everyone together. And I come from a long line of that. So we worked out that one of my core desired feelings was being appreciated. And I guess in my business, I certainly, like, it grates on me when I see people trying to get 100,000 people into their course and to make $888,000 overnight. To me, it's how much value are those people getting and how much are they learning from the experience and what are their outcomes? And that might sound a bit nerdy and a bit sort of like Miss Goody Two Shoes, but I just, this whole online revolution of let's make $1 million overnight, it just... Yeah, money certainly doesn't.
Yeah, I actually had. That. I was part of what, like you know, the proposal that I sent through, and I was actually going to put in there no mention of seven figure lifestyles, and you know, it's like it just, you know, I don't. It's not. I hope it's not a money block for me, but it just, you know, I don't see the value in that, you know, other than people making money from teaching people how to make seven figures. Like, yeah, it's not, I don't know, it just doesn't align with my own values anyway. So, yeah.
I think when I keep getting emails saying, learn how to make six figures, it's like, where's the email that says, learn how to change people's lives?
Yeah.
You know, and like, because that for me, like, that's a core value in my business is actually being of value and being of service. I mean, the trust name of my business is a Swedish word, which I can't pronounce, and any Swedish listeners will, I'm sure, correct me, but it's tjänare, which is meaning of service. And that's the whole point of my business is to help people, is to get them from chaos into some sort of order. And in terms of what I do, it's helping people who've got so many different ideas and they're so confused in their head. And when they finish with me, they walk around way going, I'm empowered. I feel strong. Yeah. I feel safe. I feel secure in that I know what I'm doing now. And I was a hot mess before I talked to you. And that feeling, I don't, you know, someone said, oh, you need to raise your prices. And I'm like, the price is just some random number that's attached to that feeling, that sort of heart swell of I helped that person and they're in a much better place because of having worked with me. And like the numbers, I'm like, I need an accountant or someone dealing with that side of my things because I just don't care. I really don't care what the numbers are. I mean, and maybe that's a money block for me as well. Maybe I need to start being realistic, but I want to get that feeling from working with people. So definitely that would be the core value of my business. And it's the name of the trust that my business is under. So
there we go.
Yeah. Always been there.
Okay. So when you sent me your email and you gave me three, like, holy shit, what the hell? This woman is like absolutely
insane.
Yeah. No, but like in a good way. So you sent me this thing and I'm interested to know. One of the things that you had here was setting up a business to fill a gap in the industry that's been there forever, then launching on the same date that the oldest institution in your industry launches, exactly the same product, but with all the top people in your industry doing webinars for free. Tell me about that.
Oh, I don't think I've ever had such a dark day in my life, to be honest. I was I might cry.
That's okay. You're in a safe space.
Oh, my God. It was just, okay, so I came back from, I'm sure we'll talk about Kiribati later, but when I came back from that 2.5 year posting out in the middle of the Pacific, I was broken physically, mentally, emotionally, call it what you will. I was broken for a lot of different reasons. And I went over to Jakarta and when I came back because I just couldn't handle how amazing Australia was. I know it's going to sound really weird, but I lived with so little for 2.5 years. I came back and the idea of like a supermarket was it was frightening, to be honest. Like I went in and having had no choice of anything, like when cheese came onto the island, there would be a phone call, a feverish sort of phone call that would go, "That's Chaz!" And we'd all sort of, you know, clamber down to the supermarket and be running through the aisles to secure the kilo of nearly used by date finished, mainland Colby. You know, it was pretty exciting stuff. So coming back to Australia and having, like, I walked into a supermarket, I remember, with my sister in Melbourne, and she said, "Oh, just go and get some cheese and crackers." And I stood in front of the cheese cabinet and just hadn't had a bit of meltdown. Just when I don't know that I can, why do we need 47 types of cheese to choose from? I don't really understand. And I just threw money into her hand and ran. I just went, "I can't do this. I can't, this place is crazy." So I went to Jakarta thinking it was sort of the midway between complete remote Pacific wilderness and you know, developed fabulous clean world. And in that time in Jakarta, I decided that I was going to have to start something of my own. And I had a mastermind, a think tank, with someone else who had done B school.
Yeah.
And she said, "Oh, you so need to do B school." And this is where the rot started. So I had this idea, like, what was my problem? My problem in the industry was that we never knew where to find people that did what we did because we're such a niche. And it's always been there. And all the jobs are word of mouth, and all the dogs are who you know. And oftentimes we're in Timbuktu, no one knows we're there. You know, we've got these great skills. We couldn't find someone to replace me in my position, and I'll just stop right there on the person that was hired. But anyway, moving right along, you know, it was a major issue, and I've been in this industry for, you know, at least 15 years and struggling to find somewhere to be connected, somewhere to be supported, somewhere to find work. So I created that. Yeah. It took me a year and a half-ish, and then I went on a holiday to Broome, which is in the top north end of Western Australia, absolutely beautiful, idyllic beaches, all the rest of it, with a girlfriend. And I pretty much just got it all up online. It was launched. It was up. It was ready. It was ready to start advertising. And I got an email in my inbox from the biggest name in my industry who had done exactly what I had done. And it was... In terms of the idea that I had, it was visionary in that this was an issue that had pervaded our industry for years and years and years and years and years. And it was sort of at that, it was about 3 years ago. So it was that time where, you know, the internet was just starting to pick up, LinkedIn was just starting to happen, Seek and all these different sort of recruitment arms were all starting to come in. So the idea itself was awesome. Mm. And I mean, obviously, I mean, the largest institution pretty much put out exactly what I had created in myself. I sat in Broome and I just had a vomit reflex. I didn't know what else to do. I just poured my heart and soul into fixing this issue within the industry. I mean, in retrospect, it was the best thing that could have happened to me because I had a lot of soft start skill sort of business training in that. I mean, it was a year and a half of business training that has set me up to really effectively, very quickly set up my next consultancy because I know exactly what I did wrong the last time and was able to apply all those lessons second time round. And now I'm running a consultancy that is me. I'm at the heart of it. And, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm not an HR person. You know, that's not my field of expertise. And to run a business as I had envisioned would have been big, you know. And I'm actually really happy just being a consultant who outsources stuff I can't be bothered doing or don't like doing, and otherwise I am the core of my business. I actually quite like that. So in retrospect, it was a blessing. It was a gap that needed to be filled. Me as one person was never going to be able to fight against the industry giants that have been around for hundreds and thousands of, well, thousands of years, but, you know, university type institutions that have been around for hundreds of years. So it was a blessing at the end of the day what happened. But oh my god, did I just, honest to God, you could have blown me over with a feather. It was just the most soul-destroying realization that I was going to have to throw all that hard work away. But it wasn't. At the end of the day, it was the idea went and the business model went, and what I've got now is so much more aligned to who I am and to what I love doing. And there's so, like, I think of all the frustrations there were in the other business model, and, like, there's just none of that here because I only do things I love doing. So, yeah, now it makes a lot more sense. It's much more scalable in terms of the scalable that I would want to see the consultancy that I've got expand. I can see it expanding, but at a pace and at a time and with people that I'm happy expanding with, as opposed to something like that that could have just gone, little bit crazy pants, and I don't know that I would have been there for that. So, yeah, it was absolutely soul-destroying and quite possibly the most soul-destroying thing that's ever happened to me. It's like your first child. You put all that love and effort into it, and a year and a half of building, and then it's just taken away from you.
Yeah, yeah, I totally hear you. I had my big lessons. I'm reframing that from failure to lessons. And it is soul destroying because you put so much energy into it. It's a birthing process in itself. And I went through all of that, and what I was left with was more amazing than what I could have envisaged for that business anyway. So what would you say were the biggest lessons that you learnt from that? If there were like maybe two or three big lessons that you took away?
I would say from a business perspective that especially if you're an entrepreneur or a solopreneur or someone who's not trying to create something that's massive, if you're just happy creating an income that's good enough for yourself and your family, and you're not looking at something that you need to instantly scale to be making billions of dollars overnight, that core business should be based on who you are as a person. You know, like you go on Shark Tank, you look at Shark Tank and you see all these people coming up with an invention with a peg and you think, great, they're going to make like, you know, $1 million overnight. Good on them. But if you want to be in a soul-based business where you are actually using your gifts and skills, which ultimately brings you the most joy, and it brings you a lot more joy, I'm sorry, than the thousands of dollars that you're going to be able to get from a peg when you buy yourself a yacht. I don't know. That's just where I'm coming from anyway. Yeah. The satisfaction of actually using your talents and skills and then being able to market yourself. You don't have to market yourself. You just are. You just be. You just be the person that you are, and then people who resonate with you will come to you. And the lesson that I learned from trying to set up this business was that it wasn't aligned with my gifts. It wasn't aligned with who I am as a person. Yes, I'm a person who wants to create a community and I want to create a service that helps people. And that business model was trying to help people, but it wasn't helping me shine. It was helping others connect. And although that's very noble and it's very sort of altruistic in a sense, it's not the ongoing running of that business was not utilizing the things that I'm best at. And therefore, a lot of what that business was about was frustration. So the biggest lesson for me is go with what you're good at. Go with what makes your heart sing. Go with what people say, thank you so much. You have helped me so much more than any money or words could say or do or pay for. You know, you've taken me from a place of X to a place of Y, and you have special gifts in that area. The feeling that you get from that is worth 100 times more than any sort of bank check that you're going to receive in the mail.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think in my Office Collective thing, my biggest lesson was, you know, not to create a business from a need within myself. So, you know, I had emotional needs that weren't being met at the time, and I created a business to fulfill those emotional needs. And that was my biggest lesson. It's like,
No, and similar, you know, like I created that business because I was frustrated with trying to find a job. I was frustrated with trying to find other people who, you know, do what I do and are able to refer on. And it just seemed to be this really sort of small word by word, mouth by mouth that, you know, you might get a job and then you'll get nothing. And then there'll be, and oh, you would have been great for that job. Where were you 3 months ago? I was like, well, if you told me. And it was that sort of need to feel connected and that need to feel part of this sort of inner circle of people who knew where all the work was. And yeah, that's just not the basis to start a business on. It's like, you've got that problem. And I guess, I mean, the idea was visionary.
Yeah.
In that someone, well, the clearly, biggest institution.
Yeah. There's a market it, there for, right? Yeah. It's yeah, but it's success. Interesting because I think there's something energetically that doesn't work when it's like just there to fulfill a need within yourself, you know? Like that's a dangerous place to be.
Well, it's much like being in a relationship and being in a relationship with someone who is filling the hole that you've got within yourself. It doesn't work.
No, long-term. Exactly.
You've got to be there as a whole person, and then you've got to be utilizing the best that you've got to make the other person better, like help them become a better version of themselves and vice versa. If you're trying to plug each other's holes, then, that sounds awful.
Because that's essentially what you're trying to do.
But you know what I mean? Like if you're trying to fix things that are wrong in the other person, it's never going to work.
No, that's
and
it.
So building a business that is trying to fix a problem within yourself, it's Yeah, I guess the best service you can have is to be for yourself, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, like it's really disempowering too to give your power over to whatever it is to tell you, whether it's other people or potential clients or whatever. But to give that power to them, like to build your self-worth, giving other people the power to do it. Yeah. Not good.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. It's like building something on someone else's foundations. It's never going to work. It's always going to topple over. Like you've got to be strong in the foundations of yourself. And I guess my advice for anyone who wants to be an entrepreneur or anyone who wants to start a business is go and do some sort of retreat or mastermind or something where you get to the core of who it is that you are and what it is that you're brilliant at and what it is that's going to make you different to everybody else or what it is that makes you, not going to, but it makes you different because we're all individuals. And the brand that someone said to me, oh, you've got such a beautiful brand. How did you come up with that? And I'm like, it's just me.
Yeah.
I invited my designers around to my house and went, see this? This is who I am. This is what I'm surrounded by. These are all my like travel pictures and stories and trinkets. And, you know, like my house is, if you go to my website, my house pretty much looks like that because all the pictures on my website are pictures I've taken on my travels. And people are like, oh, how did you find these photos? And how did you build this brand? It's like, it's just me. It's who I am deep down. And I think, with the last business that I tried to make, I really tried to come across as corporate and business, and my copy was corporate, the colours were corporate, the font was corporate, the services were corporate. It was like, it was so not me on so many different levels. No wonder I was frustrated with the whole thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like it's like being with a boyfriend who is what your parents think you should be with or who your friends think, oh, well, he's very well off and he has a boat and a car and, oh, he's very well spoken and he's lovely. But you know what? If there's a disconnect, there's a disconnect, you know?
Yeah,
and it's the same with business. It's the same. If it's not who you truly are and who you can truly be comfortable in that position with, then you're barking up the wrong tree. Yeah. Like, get out.
I think, you know, we were talking about this before we started recording and about how, you know, it's all kinds of ridiculous that I haven't recorded a podcast until now with my background. But sometimes we're looking so hard for something else, you know, that we don't look really at what's where the ease is, where the flow is.
Yeah, for sure. So true. I get goosebumps hearing you say that. And that's what it is. Like now that I'm running this business, it like I don't have to think. I was up till 2 o'clock this morning, like editing a video because I was having so much fun. It was like, oh my God, yeah. I was just in the zone, totally in the zone. And when you're in the zone and when you're in that sort of creative space where you can be the person you were born to be and be the person you were meant to be, it's like you don't have to think and it's not hard work. Like people are like, oh God, you work such long hours. And I just look at them and go, man, you must hate your job. Like I love working the hours that I'm going, okay, you must stop, walk away from the machine because I love it. It's not like I'm chaining myself to the desk.
Yeah.
I actually love what I do.
Yeah.
So yeah, and that's such a blessing. When you're letting it flow, when it's all coming through, then you're doing what you're meant to be doing. And sometimes it's hard to realize what that is because you do it every day and you don't realize.
You're in the forest and there's, you know, you can't see the trees kind of thing. So what shifted for you, like from that moment of being really, I guess, broken open by what happened with this other business, what happened between then and now? Like how did you discover that this is what your calling was?
From when that happened, I sort of persevered with the business idea for another 3 months. I just went, no, I can do it. I can make this work.
Push.
Yeah. And then I had a
I'm not a quitter.
Exactly. Like people who quit are so close to succeeding. Yeah. And then Christmas time, I just went, no, this is madness. What am I doing trying to fight the corporate giant that is, you know, this massive, long-standing educational institution, you know? Like, what am I doing? Like, this is crazy. So I went underground for about 6 months. I just turned off the computer and paid the bills that I had to pay to keep the business name registered and just sort of gave up, really. I just went, this is so beyond barked. It's not funny. You can edit that out.
It's barked.
It was.
Yeah.
It was just so beyond heartbreaking. that I didn't want to think about it. So I went back to teaching. I was lucky enough from my last consultancy job that I had a bit of a buffer financially, so I didn't need to stress about the money side of things. But I went back to teaching because I didn't know what else to do with myself. I just went, I just can't sit in the house all day moping about the fact that I created a business and I've told everyone I'm starting this business and all my friends and family think I've started this business and now I have to pull it all down. Like, you can't get more shameful than that. Yeah. You can't get more feeling like a failure. You know, yeah. Everyone's saying, well, that's
because it's
work.
So, public. Go, yes, it will. So public. So public, you know. That was the hardest thing for me too, because I had to admit defeat. You know, and yeah, that's and like that soul is, destroying.
Oh, it's like, you know those celebrities who get shamed because they show their knickers or something? Like, I get it now. It's like, you just want to pour yourself a really long bubble bath, drink a bottle of champagne and accidentally slip under the water.
Yeah.
You know,
like, take a few Valiums
Yeah, and just go somewhere else. Like, you know, then that's that may have sounded pretty full on, but you do. You just want the earth to open up and swallow you, and it is the most soul-destroying feeling when you don't know anyone else who's been through it.
Yeah. And also, no, I think it. Like, you know, people like you and I, grouping us together, generally I've always been a bit of an overachiever. So for me to have kind of huge public failure was shameful is the word.
Mm. And everyone, and all those people that said it was never going to work, and all those people who laughed at you and went, oh, why would you do that? Why don't you just get a job? You know, it's like they're all going,
And did you have, I had moments where I was like, you know, I could see looking backwards, you know, those people who had said to me, this isn't going to work, and perhaps maybe you should. And I, looking back, I see those as kind of signs that I shouldn't have gone down that route. And there were lots of little signs that said to me, oh, maybe that's not a good idea, maybe that's not a good idea, but I kind of pushed through them. Did you have those too?
Yeah, I think there was, I think the number of frustrations I felt along the way, and I mislabeled them and just went, no, this is what business is all about. You know, it's going to put challenges up and you've got to push through them and you've got to blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, okay, you look at what I've done with my life, and I mean, I've been blackmailed, I've been evacuated, I've been detained as an illegal alien. Like, I have been through all manner of shit in my life, and I've always come out on top. Mm. And every single person that knows me goes, Maria, if anyone can make it happen, you can make it happen.
Yeah,
you know,
I hear that all the time myself. Yeah,
you're not a quitter. You'll get there. Yeah. You know, that is one hell of a pony to be riding. Like, woo! Like, you know, you've got a lot of expectations. So to be able to stand up in front of everyone and go, well, I fucked up.
Mm.
It is beyond embarrassing. It's beyond shameful. It's beyond the drunken nudie run that you did at uni. Not that I ever did it. But
I
imagine how shameful that would be the next morning. You know, like, you can get over that because it was a bit of a drunken mistake. You know, this is, I have poured savings, money, time, a year and a half of my time. I mean, how much would I have been paid for a year and a half of my time if I'd been in a normal job, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And the waste that is like, oh, God, she's wasted her time, she's wasted her money, or, you know, oh, I bet her parents helped her out. It's like, well, actually, no, they didn't. Mm-hmm. But anyway, just moving right along. And not that they didn't want to. They wanted to, but sorry, Mum and Dad, if you're listening, it wasn't about that. It's like, you know, people sort of judge you and you're going, well, you know, So, yeah, I don't know what the original question was.
The original question was, sorry, that was like a total detour. That's cool. I love detours. The original question was, so was there any like how you went from that shame and the, you know, the failure to then you're doing now? Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so awesome question. I was broken, and it just took me 15 minutes to explain how broken I was.
You were fucking broken. No, I get it.
I was fucking very fucking broken. But basically, yeah, I just went underground. I was so ashamed and I was so depressed and downhearted and just I just, honest to God, thought, that's it. I'm just going to have to go back to teaching. And so I went back to teaching. And the universe provided me a fabulous staff room of really quite toxic people to work with. And so although I loved the work, I loved, you know, I was working with refugees and these people, are in were in detention, like community detention. So they didn't know whether they were going to get a visa. They didn't know what was going on. These people were so broken, and I was able to look at them and go, Jesus, I think I'm broken because I had a bit of a failed business venture. These people don't have a home. They don't have family. They've lost half their family. Their kids are still stuck in some war zone. They've got no communication. Like, I think
reality
I'm broken.
Check.
Like, yeah, thanks, universe. Okay, I'm not really that broken. It'll just take me a bit of time for these, you know, this sort of shame to wear off, and then I'll work out what to do. So those people taught me a lot about, you know, what failure really meant. And what I'd gone through wasn't really failure. It was just like a fucking massive pothole in the road, really, that I sort of fell into for a while. So I was then faced with working in a staff room again with people who were just, oh, my God, like unhappy. You know, they're teachers and they want to help, but they're unhappy. They don't like being stuck in this 9-to-5 and all they do is whinge about it. So I just went, get me out of here, put me in the communities. So my boss, in his infinite wisdom, said, you'd be a great community teacher. Do you want to do the community classes instead? Because you don't have to deal with the staff. You can just deal with the students. Then I'm like, yeah, brilliant. So then I did that for a while and was like, well, yeah, this is great, but it's sucking my soul. Like, you've got 30 people, like, all sort of needing your attention, and wow, when none of them speak English and they've all got refugees or migrant backgrounds, so they've got work issues, they've got home issues, they've got culture issues, like it's full on, and you come home and you're just like, blah, like I can't do this on a regular basis. And, you know,
you can't
the pay
sustain
was
it long term.
No, the energy drain was like significantly more difficult than the lack of finances that it was bringing in. So I got back on the horse, Carly. That's what I had to do. You know, I just went, well, what am I going to do? I reached out. I got a business coach. I slapped down some money and went, fuck it. I know I can do this. I just don't know what to do. Yeah. And so I worked with a business coach who went, well, what are you good at? And we started talking about that. And she's like, dude, seriously, there is such a huge amount of crap in the online teaching and learning world. Like, why aren't you teaching people about basic teaching and learning stuff? I'm like, everyone knows that shit. She's like, no, they fucking don't. I'm like, really?
Assumption like, number one, hey?
And this is it, right? So she goes, well, what are your top 10 teaching tips? And I'm like, okay, have you heard of eliciting? And she's like, what? Soliciting? I'm like, no, eliciting. I'm like, oh, my God, okay, where do we start? So we started brainstorming all the stuff that I know about teaching and learning, and she's like, dude, seriously, there's a business in that. And that then I was off. It was just like, right, back on the horse. And that was probably, I think, June last year.
Yeah.
So what I've got now has been created off the back of that. And all of a sudden it was like, bang, create an opt-in, bang, create this, bang, create that. Because I'd done it all. It was like a little mini projects, but I was in charge of them all. Like, woo, and I got to say how they were going to go. It was just, it all happened so quickly. Create a course, create a signature course, do this. I mean, that took 9 months in itself. You know, redo the website, have a rebrand. And that was my web tech woman, who is an absolute angel, God love her. She's like, you don't need another rebrand. You just need to start working. And I was like, no. That website was the old business. This is the new business, and I need to see them in a completely different light. So I put the time in and, oh, my God, did a rebrand with my designers and then trying to get the website redesigned and then trying to implement the new design. Anyway, what's there is not perfect, but it's a damn sight better than the corporate bullshit that it was when I started. So, yeah, I just got back on the horse, Carly. I reached out and talked to people who could help me, and I started investing in myself, and I started investing in my business properly instead of just trying to do everything on the freebie, which I think is a trap. You know, there's so many freebies out there and you can learn so much, but you get sort of sucked into this. You've got to learn, you've got to be on everyone's list and you've got to learn everything. And
That's, I feel truly blessed that, like, in some ways, because it can go both ways, but I am kind of an island in that respect. I have blinkers on big time. I am not one of those people who does a million different e-courses to learn how to do this and do that. And, you know, it's just not my bag. Like, you know, I did B school because it's the only online course, not the only, but, you know, one of the only courses that I've done. And I did that because that happened right as the Office Collective was, like, I was seriously thinking I'm going to have to close the doors and I need to do something to change that, you know. And so I did B school out of a desperation, which is never a good place to do anything. But, you know, it gave me way more than just B school. It gave me access to people like you, you know, and friendships. Like before that, the reason I started the Office Collective was because I was desperately lonely. I'd been, you know, a solo entrepreneur for years and working from home. I didn't have any friends that were entrepreneurs. Like that's why I opened the Office Collective, so I could surround myself with some like-minded people. And then I joined B School and ended up finding that's where I found all my like-minded peeps, you know. That was
and how important is that?
Oh, so important to have some kind of community of people who get you, and not just that, but want to empower you, you know. Like that's what I find. I you know, not that my friends don't provide me, they're not holding me back from anything, but to know that there are people out there that have your back and get where you're at is just so incredibly amazing, you know.
And that's my expression. I say it all the time. You just want people that have got your back.
Yeah, totally.
And I think, and that's what B School gave me, was a community of like-minded people who I finally felt normal in.
Yeah.
Like before I did that course, and it doesn't matter really which entrepreneurial group you end up part of. I mean, we both happen to be part of one, but it doesn't matter what it is. Like in Perth, I've just started to sort of reach out to more small business owners here. I'm part of two co-working spaces now, and because they give me completely different things. Like they give me completely different people, facilities, everything.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because there's like I did a mastermind that was me and all men, and that was like one of the most incredible things I've ever done. Because like men are no bullshit, you know? Like I remember sitting there talking about, it was when I had the Office Collective too, and I was talking about how things weren't going as well as I had hoped, and you know, woe is me. And one of the guys said, excuse me, you're really codependent on this business. And I was like, what? You know, it was the truth, you know, it was totally the truth. And none of my female entrepreneur friends were willing to go there, you know, because sometimes they want to, you know, have it all snuggly and lovely and, you know, oh, you're doing a great job, when really they should be telling you, that sucks. Like, that really sucks.
You've not nailed that at all. Totally. And like, let's drink wine and talk about it. Give me the shit.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Tell me, is it good or is it shit?
Yeah. It's good, isn't it? Yeah, different people, different things. But, yeah, I guess so. How did I move on was reaching out to like-minded people. You know, like I felt like I was in the wasteland of misunderstanding, you know, like people didn't understand me, my friends didn't understand me, and my parents were sort of going, sorry to hear that you totally fucked that up, but what can we do to help you? Do you need a job? It's like, oh God, like no one gets it. I mean, my parents have been running business for 100 years, so you know, they know how hard it is and how challenging it is. So they've been a great support in that, you know, they get it and they're not expecting it all to happen overnight. But it's quite funny actually, because you'd think that your parents who are business owners would be the best support ever.
Yes.
But, you know, every time I go there, are you making any money yet?
I know. I love my dad. He's the reason that I'm an entrepreneur, you know, absolutely without a doubt. His work ethic is incredible, but he's also really more risk averse than I thought he was. And, you know, that can be a good thing, but and I probably need to be more risk averse. But, you know.
It's a different world. It's a different world of business to the world of business that they went through. And it's funny because I remember saying to Dad, oh, I've got to understand, you know, it's all different these days, Dad. It's on the internet, it's marketing, it's this, it's that. And Dad's just going, oh, well, then we can't help you. There's nothing we can do. And he was saying, why don't you just get out there and talk to people? That's how I built my business. And I'm like, oh, Dad, it doesn't work like that anymore. You've got to have this website and you've got to have this and you've got to have that. And it's funny because I've come full circle and I said to Dad, you know what?
It does work.
Fuck
like
all
that.
The advertising. Fuck all this stuff that doesn't work for me. Like I just want to be good at what I do and change people's lives. And when you change people's lives, they tell other people about you. And I think that's the marketing model that I want to work on. It's just like do good, be good, be the helper. And when if you're in flow, it's going to come back to you. And as woo-woo as that sounds, like all this sort of, I'm going through the whole Facebook ad thing at the moment because it was recommended to me and I'm just like, it's just so not me.
Yeah.
I'm like, I've paid for it now, so I'm going ahead with it because I've got a fabulous woman who's helping me with the whole tech side of things because that is something I don't want to learn, throw money at someone who knows it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just like be yourself, be authentically you. And when you are authentically you, you start to shine. And it's funny because I went back to Dad and I'm like, yeah, you know all that like marketing stuff I said I needed to master? He's like, yeah, like, nah, I'm just doing it the way you did, Dad.
Exactly.
Just going out talking to people.
Yeah,
you know?
I have this saying that I always use in my mastermind and it's fuck the formula. You know,
yeah,
if
totally.
People just are so often so attached to the idea that they need to follow a formula for success, and you find your own formula, you know, you do the things that resonate with you and you don't do the things that don't resonate with you, and you'll find what you need to find. But following someone else's formula, while it works for them, it doesn't mean that it's going to work for you.
No. And I just, and the more the stronger I feel with that sentiment, the emptier my inbox gets from all these lists of people who are telling me, like, you know, you must have this and you must do that. It's like, oh, I must do what I want to do now. Get out of my inbox, you know. And it's funny because I said to my dad, he goes, oh, you making any money yet? Because that was always the question, making any money yet? You making any money yet? And I sat mum and dad down one day with a glass of wine and I said, now listen. And I went, what? I said, how long did it take you and mum to start making money? Because they had like a really bricks and mortar business, you know, delivering grain in the wheat belt of Western Australia.
Right.
So trucks and employees and horrible, like, you know, long-term big investment type stuff. And I said, how long did it take you to start making money? And they said, mum was like, oh, I reckon a good 10 years before we could be, you know, sort of breathing easy every month and knowing that we had enough, you know, like, you know, that we could, you know, that we could cover our bills. And dad's like, oh, years we were in debt. And, you know, your mother was always having a go at me for buying new tires. And she said we didn't need them. And I said we needed to invest in the business. And like, just bottom line, how long was it before you were like taking a deep breath and going, yeah, we're killing this. And they're like, 10 years. And I'm like, okay, so shut the fuck up and leave me alone. And they don't ask me how much money I'm making anymore. Yeah. It's much more peaceful.
Yeah.
And there were two of them at that business. So
I mean, it's true, isn't it? I think people expect overnight success because we're just like this, I don't know, society is so instant gratification kind of focused these days, where good, like, success does take, it's you consistently showing up. Consistently showing up. Like, overnight success is total bullshit from where I stand anyway. I haven't seen a lot of it.
No.
I've seen a lot of people work hard long term and have success. And sure, they might reach a tipping point that makes them seem like, oh my God, all of a sudden she's everywhere. But there's a lot before that happens. You know, and that's kind of why I wanted to do this podcast, because that, you know, that kind of myth of overnight success, or, you know, it just, I don't know, it's not healthy. It's not healthy because what people end up doing is they do something for a few weeks and then they're not, like, you know, catapulted to Oprah status, and so they dump it. And I'm guilty of doing that myself. But if they were consistently, you know, I think if you're your big picture or your why is big enough, then you will consistently show up. And if you're enjoying what you do, then you'll consistently show up. But
and I think, like, when I first got into this business game, although money has never been a driver for me, I thought that money coming in would be what labeled me as successful. And you get sucked into this sort of really sad, like, comparisonitis, like looking at someone who does a similar thing to you and they're going, oh, I just filled my course and I made, you know, I made $100,000 off this course, of this launch. And you're like going, oh. And then I think, oh, hang on. For me to have a $100,000 launch on a course, my VIP course, which is, you know, like a month and lots of time and effort into all of those people, that's 100 people. That's 100 people that I need to serve and feel like I've given value to over a month. It's like, I don't want that. That's not good for me. That's not what I consider a quality learning experience. Like, and there's no judgment on anyone who does run. That's not saying that if that's the way that you operate, it's not good.
Yeah, if it works for you, awesome.
Awesome. Good on you. And like if that's what works for you, that's great. But if I did that, I would be in a catatonic mess.
Yeah.
There is no way I would want 100 people in my course.
Yeah.
And yeah, evergreen, whatever. Like, there's all different ways that you can create a learning experience, and that's what I do. But I don't want that. And so I had to redefine what my idea of success is.
Yeah,
and
I guess, actually just wrote down that. What is your definition of success now? Because some people do see it as seven figures. Like when I reach seven figures, you know, that's fine. If that's the milestone that you want, what do you see as success? What do you define it?
For me, like I've got Leonie's calendar on my wall, and I'm using it as an income tracker, right? Just so I'm, you know, not burying my head in the sand, and so I can sort of, you know, look at what's happening. And every month that number is going up, sometimes by like, you know, this much, but essentially it's enough to cover what I need to continue living on the planet and to pay for my business bills.
Yeah.
So my savings aren't going down at the moment. So, you know, I'm breaking even. I don't feel like I'm working full time. I don't, you know, like I'm doing a lot of things, but I'm not at the grindstone, like, I can't go out this weekend because I've got to work. You know, like my life is, you know, if I want to have lunch, I just drop everything and go to lunch with someone. Or, you know, someone says, do you want to come for a walk around the river? I'm like, hell yeah. Like, woof, laptop down, out, I'm on. So I've got this phenomenal lifestyle where I can, like this weekend, I'm packing my office, which is a backpack, and I'm going down to mum and dad's for 2 or 3 days because I can. And because I can work from down there if I need to. But what does work mean? Oh, yeah. Work means finishing off the Prezi presentation that I'm doing for a webinar next week, you know, making it look really fun. Like, that's not, you call that work? Like, I can be watching CSI with mum and doing that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sort of watching TV and doing something else at the same time. That is my, if that isn't success, I don't know what is. Like, that fills my heart. It means I can be a friend. I can be a daughter. I can be whoever I need to be for the volunteer organisations that I work with and for. I'm vice president of a state industry association, and, whoa, man, that is a lot of work. But, you know, I've got the time to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm covering my bills. And I get to work with all these amazing people. I've got a phone call with Denmark later today. And then I've got a client who was in Sydney yesterday. I've got people all over the world, and they're all beautiful, heart-centered, passionate people who really care about what they're doing with their clients and about them making sure that their clients get success from whatever they're doing. So I'm helping other people who are helping other people create change. It's just, it's the most beautiful feeling. And that to me is like, yeah, baby, I made it. I don't care. I'm covering my bills. And obviously I'd like to be making more than covering my bills, but like it'll come.
Yeah,
it'll
come. I mean, at the end of the day, when did you launch this? Like June?
Well, no, that's when I started on the idea. I launched it in January.
Holy shit, dude, you are killing it.
Well, I'm covering my bills, and that's the most important thing. But, yeah, like what is success? You know, I there's certain forums I'm going to have to get off, because some of these forums ever talk about is the money side of things. And I just, it grates on me like there is no tomorrow, because that to me, if that's success for you, then that's great and no judgment on it. But yeah, the heart swell of knowing that people are in a better place because they're working with you on your terms and in a way that's integrous and in a way that isn't ripping them off. Success knowing that the right people are coming working with you and that they get so much out of the time they spend with you, and they go off happier people, more organized, less stressed, and you've been able to do that and it doesn't even feel like work. That is success for me.
Time to kick up your feet and relax. It's on the couch. Biggest fear.
Biggest fear. Rejection. People not liking me, people laughing at me, people telling me that I'm don't know what I'm talking about or that I'm not good enough. And that sort of it permeates every part of my life, really. It's sort of it's a fear that holds me back from doing a lot of things, and it's not just to do with business. But I'm getting better, and I'm getting better at just like looking at that fear in the face and going, and what's the worst thing that happens if they reject you? You're still you, and you're still that, you know, you're still who you are deep down and inside. You don't have to worry about it. Because if they're going to laugh at you, or if they're going to reject you, or if they're not going to see the value in them, then more fool them, you know, they're lost, not mine. So, yeah just keep forging ahead.
I used to have a thing where I would, you know, yes, what is the worst that could happen, but what is the best potentially? What's the best that could happen from this? And if the best, like, outweighs the worst, give it a shot. So would you say, what's your biggest struggle right now?
My biggest struggle right now is finding me time. is just going, because, and this is the problem. Everyone's like, you need to take a time off what you're doing. You know, you can't spend all the time at your computer. It's like, yeah, but I really like what I do at the computer. And they're like, yeah, but you need to get, like, tap into your creative stuff. I'm like, you know, because I play the guitar, I play the piano. I used to write music, like, holy, seriously. Like, you know, when you're a traveler without any technology when you're 20s, you know, like, you find ways of being creative. And I've sort of turned off a lot of those creative flows at the moment. I'm also got a really bad knee problem at the moment, so I can't really do a lot of exercise, which is killing me because I live next to this beautiful river and it's driving me crazy. So instead, because I can't get out to exercise and I can't get out and do this sort of me time stuff, I just find myself 24/7 on the computer. So yeah. My biggest problem is, at the moment, my biggest struggle is turning off from being an entrepreneur and turning on my creative side or my hobby side or my, you know, what do I do that actually gives me ultimate joy apart from working my business? Because working my business does give me joy, but I need to find
other things. A way to unplug and plug in.
Yeah.
So what do you have any kind of like self-care shit that you do for you?
Yes. Getting so much better at this, Carly. I grew up in a family where you didn't spend money on things unless they were absolutely necessary. And, you know, I grew up in a family who was struggling in business for 10 years. So I get that. I get why, you know, every purchase was scrutinized. Like, do we really need this? And so I've sort of grown up with that mindset around luxuries or around sort of spoiling myself. And it's funny because now mum and dad are, you know, they've worked really hard and they spoil themselves all the time. They have absolutely no problem. I still have a problem doing it. It's ridiculous. So I spoil myself now by every morning I get up and I do a yoga sequence. It's only like 5-10 minutes max, depending on how sort of chilled I want to be. Knee's making it challenging, but I'm just forging on with that. So I do that every morning and sort of like a bit of a mini meditation. I've got this area upstairs where I can see the city. So I'd like this, that's my dreams. Like, you know, like, and it used to be, I'm going to be as good as those people in the city. And now it's like, I'm soaring higher than that. You know, I don't want to be a corporate person in a desk. So I do that for myself every morning. And other than that, I am starting to book in for regular haircuts. Now I've got this mane that can just, it's this sort of crazy mane that just it doesn't need every 4-week sort of type haircuts. And so my hairdresser, who I've had since I was 17, just bangs his head against a wall and go, please just come in for a head massage and let me, like, you know, let me pamper you. I'm like, okay, I don't need it, but I'm gonna do it. It's like just little things like that. I've started taking myself off and allowing myself to buy clothes, shoes, which most women don't have any problems with, but man, like once a year I get a rush on and I go and buy like 6 things and then that's it. Like for the rest of the year I'll have nothing in my wardrobe. I've still got stuff in my wardrobe from 5 years ago. So I'm going through a big declutter at the moment. So my self-care is a lot of declutter and bringing in new fresh things into my life because I've been making do with a lot of old stuff for a very long time. So, yeah, meditation, yoga and spending a bit of money on things that make me feel more, I guess, like I'm not walking around with clothes and holes in them anymore because I don't need to. I can actually go and buy a new one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just sort of treating myself to things aren't necessities.
All right. And this will be the last question. So we all generally have an evil bitch that lives in our head and she tells us a whole bunch of untruths. What would be the one recurring negative self-talk thing that you hear from your evil bitch?
That I'm not good enough, that they're much better than me, that they're doing something that's going to make more money than me, that you know, people are just going to hear that and think, who the fuck do you think you are? On repeat.
Yeah.
A lot. Really loudly. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, shut the fuck up, bitch. Yeah. I'm good. I'm fine. Am I? Or am I being arrogant? I fight with that bitch all the time. It's
On. I have quite a few fights with her too. She says similar things to me, actually. The who do you think you are kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You think you really think you're going to make it in this world? Yeah, good luck, sister. Yeah. It's like, shut up. Shut up. We so are. Damn it. We need to get our inner bitches together. They'd have a fucking fruit future. Yeah, they'd love each other.
And kill them.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Over the line. That's it. Your bitch, my bitch, they're dead. Let them kill each other. Yeah. Oh, that'd be an interesting afternoon.
Yeah, fire out. That would be good. Okay.
Oh, my God. I hope you're having as much fun as I am.
Yeah, of course. That's why I love doing this. Okay, so now we might move into the plug.
The plug. Instead of filling the podcast with self-promotion, we're being totally transparent. Here's the plug.
Tell us where we can find you, maybe a little bit about the services that you offer, and yeah, just like plug the hell out of yourself.
Oh, sweetheart. Thank you. Okay, so the easy way to find me is mariadoyle.com. My business name is Select Consultants, which is the same website. They all redirect to the same place. So the main website name is selectconsultants.com. Essentially, I help passionate professionals who've got a message to share, create quality learning experiences that are really going to help your clients get real change, and not just this sort of fluffy information-giving nonsense or lecture-style nonsense. I'm a teacher trainer and a curriculum developer. I'm not a business coach, I'm not an instructional designer, and I'm certainly not a launch strategist. So if you want to know how to sell your course or you have absolutely no idea what you're doing, then don't come to me. But if you've got experience and qualifications, and by qualifications I mean experience in the industry, if you know what you're doing and you've got a bank of knowledge in your head or possibly on your computer, then come to me and essentially I help you sort it out so that you can work out how to streamline your content into different offerings, how to create a catalogue of the information that you've got in your head. So not just why people need it, but how they do it, the activities that you go through, the theory that you need to go through. There's a way of organising that information and it's called a curriculum map. So basically my services are all based on the foundations of best practice teaching and learning, and best practice teaching and learning is being organized essentially. So yeah, you can work with me in a lot of different ways. I've got an evergreen course, so you get all the theory. It's independent learning style, so you can buy it straight off the internet and self-paced study. I do intensive rounds every now and then, so you get to work with other people and be held accountable to get your documents done. Or else you can work with me one-on-one. I'm doing workshops this year. I'm doing face-to-face retreats. I'm planning one up in Bali. So you just bring all your ideas and 5 days, get it all done. Like just sit down, intensive workshop style, work with other people who are doing the same thing, and then go off and enjoy raw food and yoga. Yeah. And
I'm feeling the Bali call so hard at the moment, and it's doing my head in.
It's beautiful. I love it up there. I spent a month up there at the end of last year and thought, people need to be up here and doing this. The energy up there is so zen and it's just so relaxed. You get so much done because there's no distractions. Mm. So, yeah, lots of different ways you can work with me, but essentially if you need help in getting your offerings together, then I'm your woman.
The takeaway. Exercises or tips for positive change, sprinkled with salt and vinegar, wrapped in newspaper and handed over the counter from our special guest to you.
Yeah, have you got any parting words? Any words of like wisdom or any advice? So have you got, if someone's where you were, you know, even like 6 months ago, what would be your words of advice to them?
I would say that success is in the journey, not in the destination, that there is no destination per se, and that success is loving what you do and loving the way that you do it. Stay true to yourself. And if you are using the gifts and talents that you have been given and you continue to do that in a way that is integrous to you so that you feel good about the way that you're doing it, that success will come, and success, whether that's money or feeling good about what you're doing, will come if you just stay true to who you are and what you're doing and have some faith that the universe will put the people and the places and the situations in front of you that you need. So just have faith and stay true to yourself.
Thanks for tuning in to the Carlosophies podcast with me, Carly Nimmo. Let's continue the conversation at carlynimmo.com. If you were a big fan of the podcast, I'd be stoked if you left a review. And if you want to hear more radness just like this, be sure to subscribe and spread the word. In the meantime, be real, be rad. Peace out.